Hi, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, booking of guests this week has hit a new all-time low. I thought I was bad last week, but Doc's not just not come. I've forgotten Patrice said he was at a Christmas thing. Camps is at a Christmas thing, photocopying his arse. And so it's me and Adam shooting the breeze over Apple this week. So you'll at least get 50% positivity.
Me, the all-time low. Thank you.
Adam, the star, mate. I'm surprised you came here.
I think you called me an all-time low.
No. The bookings are at an all-time low in terms of like solidity of admin process. But mate, you are you've been on with Leo, haven't you, for MacBreak Weekly?
Yeah, I was on MacBreak Weekly this week. It was fun.
Yeah, you're going to be taking autographs. And so you've been on the BBC, you've been on MacBreak Weekly in 2016. It hasn't been a bad year for you.
No, it's been going good.
Yeah.
Well, it, for me, the rest of the year is shit for the world. But
yeah, okay. I wasn't. Everyone's been going on about 2016 can bugger off now because there's too many people died this year. But when John Glenn went yesterday, that was the end of it for me. It was like, nah, sorry, he's got to go. 2016 is officially crap now for deaths, no question. And I saw RIP was the ninth most used hashtag on Twitter for the whole year.
Yeah, we need more positivity. That's why we're here, right?
That's
all
why.
Positivity all the time.
Oh, mate, you've come to the Mac Show for it, Christ. Let's start off then with Apple Campus. That's how it looks.
That's positive.
That's how it looks right now. I've got to say... it's a phenomenal looking building. I mean,
Mac Generation, the French site, posted interior shots this week.
Well, I have an interior shot. There you go. There's an interior shot. Look, that's one of the circular corridors.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable.
It is a feat of modern engineering. That thing.
I am not I'm not an architecture porn person, but. That's a good-looking building.
Mm-hmm.
If I was an architect, that would give me wood.
It's iconic.
It is.
It really is.
It really is. And there's an entire tree being planted that's probably about 25 years old.
They have a forest. They're putting in a lot of big old trees that I think a lot of them they saved, if I'm remembering some of the early reports, they were going to try and save a lot that were already kind of there and bring them back.
Are they going to put a Steve Jobs and Wozniak statue in the middle or something? Or
there's a giant fountain, like a massive fountain, I think.
Like a Zephyrin Cochran type thing.
No. Yeah, and they're going to have a bunch of like outdoor cafe kind of things, and well, I'm hoping I gotta start plugging my contacts and figure out how I'm going to get in there.
Oh, you got to go and see it. Yeah, so allegedly, right, this is all handed over in Q1.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
And the gardens are finished in Q2.
I think they're moving in Q2 at this point. I think that's already been kind of said that they're obviously behind. I mean, any big construction project like this, finishing it on time is all but impossible.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to happen.
It looks stunning, though. Is it a fountain of eternal youth in the middle? Says, yeah, thanks, mate. If you're up, mate, turn the radiator off. What have you just done? Turned it down?
No, I was asking if you could turn it off.
Yeah, just turn it off. Don't mess with the thermostat, though. That's set. That's like temperature-controlled room in here. It's like scientifically temperature-controlled. That was a positive start. I do like the new campus. I think they've done a fantastic building. Whoever the architects are, well bloody done. So let's swiftly move on to Mossberg.
Uh-oh.
See, now, if you've pissed off...
What's
probably,
Walt doing now?
Probably the greatest window licker that Apple's ever had. Mossberg has said, in tech, form trunks function far too often. He did say it's not just Apple, but he does point at Apple and say that they haven't listened to people, and the MacBook is an abomination, effectively, for... I'm paraphrasing here, but he doesn't pull back. He's not far off that. He said that the form of Apple products now is far out exceeding the function, and it's not good enough.
In which way?
I can't remember the line that I found. I'm trying to scan through the story.
Is it the ports? Is he freaking out about the ports? Is it the it's too thin?
It's one of the comments.
So the keyboard sucks, or?
Well, he's just suggesting that going for thinness and lightness is beyond a standard now. That's of real value. And he just say the MacBook as a low entry point with no only one point other than the headphone jack. It's kind of silly because it leaves you then having to buy dongles, etc., to use it. The MacBook Air, which received huge plaudits for its innovation and its smallness and its lightness and its thinness and its power, they appear now to be sidelining, which is a negative because it's a really good computer. And I have to totally agree with it. It's the first time in my life I've ever agreed with Malt Mossberg.
On the MacBook?
MacBook Air.
He says No. Yeah, but... I'm talking about, we're talking about comparing the MacBook Air current generation, the last one, to the MacBook, which replaced it essentially, right?
By contrast, the wildly successful and much admired MacBook Air, which the company appears to be slowly killing off, manages to be thin, light, without sacrificing functionality. It sports multiple ports, an SD card, it uses fully-fledged processors. Despite Apple's refusal to give the Air a Retina screen or upgrade its processors, I find it outperforms the MacBook while still looking great. And it is. I mean, when the MacBook came out, the one thing I said right away was, that is not a powerful enough machine, and it certainly isn't the power for the bang for your buck was crap, and I think that episode was called Bang for Buck.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah, they almost took like a retro step backwards. I'm just kind of giggling about this, or it's funny to me because the MacBook sort of represents the original MacBook Air. It's almost like a parallel because that was the same thing. The original MacBook Air was junk. I mean, it was way underpowered.
Oh,
it had two little ports under that stupid little flap thing that would pop down.
Yep.
Remember that?
It was crap.
Yeah. And so it's almost like
it was great for a spreadsheet. It was fine for a spreadsheet and a Word document. But it wasn't going to do anything grunty.
Yeah. Now, with the MacBook, do you know a lot of people who have them? Because I know a lot of people who have them and really love them and don't feel that they're really all that underpowered. They say the processor's fine for them.
Well, now, funny you should say that, because we've got Redneck in the chat room, Rob, and he says he's just got a new MacBook Pro, the brand new one with the touch bar. And
We're talking about the MacBook, though, right?
Yeah, he's talking about the MacBook Pro, right?
Okay.
He's not talking about the MacBook. And he says, the new MacBook Pro is an abomination, Ewan. 2 days in, and I hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a chance to play with one yesterday for the first time with the touch bar, and I was pretty impressed. I mean, it was pretty nice.
Oh, I think the user interface is quite nice. I love the keyboard. I still love the keyboard. The touch bar, I think they've got wrong. I think it's in the wrong location. I'm not going to deny the innovation. It's a good innovation, and it's got plenty of places that it can go. I just think it shouldn't go where it is. And
I like the feel of it.
I wanted to touch the screen, but... in terms of performance and power, you know, Rob's saying it's down, and I've got to agree, that's what everyone said right at the start. And the MacBook is just, I mean, it's a shittier computer than any of the Airs, even the low entry point Airs.
But again, have you used one side by side? Have you really talked to people who own them? Because I haven't been getting that in general. I have a few people that are, you know, echoing your sentiments, but I have far more who are telling me they love that MacBook.
MacBook suffers battery issues as well, and power terms as well, people are saying. I don't know. I haven't spoken to many people who've got one, but I don't like the look of it. I know it's underpowered, and it definitely stands up as underpowered against my MacBook Air. And I've got a little 11-inch MacBook Air that outstrips it.
Again, I'm not totally convinced on that.
Oh, that's someone at my bloody front door. Is the wife there? Hang on. I got to say, I still pick of the year for me is still my Ring doorbell. Is someone else asking about the golf bag that she left out the front? I'm sure of it. And it's just going to ring round now, and it's not going to... Oh, there we go.
I've heard from more than one person about the Ring that it's just fabulous.
Oh, the Ring is awesome, mate. It easily my gadget of the year. No question.
You have the standard one, though, right? You don't have the Pro?
I have the, yeah, I guess I got the standard one with the video on it. But it's
I mean, you can't set up the separate zones, right? The pro one lets you kind of define movement zones.
Yeah, like yeah, I can do movement zones. I can't have multiple ones. There's like a radius.
Yeah, the new one actually lets you define like multiple zones. So yeah. If something's in this area, it reacts one way. If something's in that area, it can react a different way.
No, I just love it. I think it's great.
Kind of like heat zones.
Well yeah. Worth the money. I didn't pay for it because it was a review unit, but I would have bought it two times over quite happily. Gadget of the year. And the link to iOS is just superb. Apart from when it doesn't work like it didn't.
I can't justify $200 for a doorbell yet that I ever come across some extra money.
I've just had a woman ask me, had I dropped my golf bag out the front, because the wife's put one of the old golf bags out the front for people to just come and take it if they want it, which is a tradition in the UK, I think. And she's rung up to say that she thought I dropped it on the floor and did I know? And, oh, that's lovely, thank you very much. And when they get deliveries and it's just like, no, I'm just at number 30, come up and drop it off at number 30, then they come straight up, it's awesome. Having a separate location, you work from home, so it's a bit different, but for me it's superb.
Yep.
Deep Pan says, Ewan, for the price of the entry-level MacBook Pro, you can get a reasonably spec Surface Pro 4, but then you've got to use Windows, of course. Couldn't get the Ring working in our house, said Rob. Just wouldn't talk to the wireless system. Well, that's because you've got that expensive wireless system, you see. Mine's just a creep nappy one. Hanshaw says, I've got an 11-inch, but with my eyesight, I want a 15-inch screen. I don't have a problem with the 11-inch. I use it in front of the TV. It's great kind of like if someone says, who does this, who does that, I just pick it up and I go onto IMDb and done. Yeah, okay, fold it down and away I go. Charge it once a week, good enough. I love it. I absolutely adore my little Air. But I think the point going back to Mossberg is that, you know, this guy is, he is, to call him a fanboy is an underestimation, and he's saying, I'm sorry, you've got to think more closely about what people want. And I've got to say as well, I don't want to dredge it up either, but the earphone port, I was down in London the other day and looking on the train, I couldn't see anyone using Bluetooth earphones. Everyone was using a wired earphone.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, what the hell are we going to do? I mean, it's like we keep talking about this, but it just ends up being totally depressing because, like, there's no solution or answer if you're frustrated by this other than what you just said, which is moving to Windows and buying something else. And I've had a couple people who have actually, you know, pulled the trigger and done that. I had a listener this week that just said, yeah, I just went and bought a new Dell because I was waiting on the MacBook Pro and it didn't have what I wanted. So I got a Dell for $1,000 less with better processor and more RAM and more storage and all the ports that I want.
I think that's going to depend where you are in your upgrade cycle, though. So for me, I don't use a laptop as much now as I used to 2 years ago. And a year ago, I didn't use it as much as I did 2 years ago. I use my desktop an awful lot more. And the desktop I've got, I really overspec'd quite badly. So that should last me for another 3-4 years.
I'm in the same boat. Comfy. But you're not, what do you do?
Well, if I was in the market for a new laptop, I wouldn't be buying the new one. I mean, I've bought a laptop every 2 years, and I'm not suggesting it would have been hard to sell me that laptop this year.
But again, I'm not talking about us. Like, what is our advice to someone who's like, I have a 2010 MacBook and I need a new notebook right now?
Look at what you're doing on it, and you might find that an old Air or last year's MacBook Pro will do you.
Right. I mean, but those are going to run out, too. So
they are at some point.
It's bleak.
Yeah, but that's the point.
If they're not happy with the new offerings. But, I mean, I don't know. I know. All I can say is that everybody that I know that's bought one of the new ones is loving it. You know, there's issues, as there always is when new things come out. You know, I think Mueller was mentioning, you know, some of the battery problems and the display problems. And so they have some things to work out. And I think a lot of those things are just software tweaks that have to be made. So I'm not super concerned. It doesn't seem to be hardware at this point in most cases, so those are all fixable. But I mean, I'm a little more positive about it because people are, now that they have them in their hands, they've been using them. Again, I know people who love the new MacBook and they don't think it's underpowered. And I'm getting more and more positive reviews every day of people who have the 13 and the 15 inch new MacBook Pros. And like I said, I had a play with them at the Apple store last night, and I was pretty impressed. I mean, I like the lightness and thinness, and I love the fact that, you know, they have just one connector on them, you know, USB-C, because I think that's really long-term, it's going to be better. I would love to just have a USB-C dock. I know, because I ended up getting the 2015 MacBook Pro, and it's the top of the line, fully maxed out one, and it's going to last me a long time, but I would love it if I just plugged in one cable and just had a dock with all of this extra crap. Yes. You know, I've got like four wires hanging off the left of it, and it looks like crud.
I don't see the point in... No. See, I don't have a problem with USB-C. I think it's a good interface, and I think it's something that I'd love to see that being an interface for the iPhone rather than Lightning. And fine, if they swap over now and it's done, it's just cables, that's all right by me. And in terms of an awful lot of the devices that I've got around here, you've only got to create a cable that does USB 3 to USB-C, and that's not going to be much of a problem either. I think to limit the amount of connectivity that you've got to one port that actually does the charging, that's stupid. Right. That's really stupid.
On the MacBook, yeah. On the MacBook, I mean, it's not really for everyone. The MacBook is definitely for a specific kind of user, you know. Yeah, and if you're not that user, then you've got to look at an Air or an entry-level MacBook Pro, I think.
But the problem we've got is that Apple say, oh, well, we didn't have enough room. Well, okay, but I didn't need it as thin as it currently is.
Right.
You know, a little bit thicker would be fine for an extra port. And I'm only talking one extra port. Give me two USB-Cs, and I'm an awful lot happier than I would be with one USB-C. I'm double as happy.
I think the MacBook is, the MacBook is a lot like the original MacBook Air at this point, where Apple tried something. And people didn't, I don't know if I'd call it shit personally, but a lot of people don't like it for some legitimate reasons. And I think that Apple may look at making a change. At least I think you're right. I could see them adding a second USB-C port in the next generation and maybe doing a little bit better with the processors once they're available. So, I think it will improve if it continues to be part of the lineup, which is a whole nother question, you know, with the pros getting so thin, if they can bring the price points down. And, you know, maybe, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, who knows? We never know what Apple's going to do. But, yeah, I think there's room for improvement. And I think they may make some of those improvements based on customer response and reaction. They don't totally not listen to us.
No, I think they do listen to a lot of the podcasts that get made, and also some of the letters that they get. Deepan says, I use Windows 10 and Mac OS, and there's not much in it now between the two. And I appreciate that. And I think I'm going to go to Premiere soon. So at least then I've got double platform to go crossover from Windows, be all Adobe. I can't fix the touchpad, says Rob. I want to write some software to disable it. How much did you spend, man? How much do you want for it, mate? Go on. Tell us a price, and I'll see what I can think of.
Yeah, well, Apple has a 14-day, you know, no questions asked return policy, so take it back and if you can get a 2015.
So Rob has just spent the last 20 minutes in the chat room running it down. It's on lease for 3 years. He's stuck with this shit for 3 years, and he wants £2,900.
You can't take it back on lease?
You're inside 14 days. Surely you can take it back.
Yeah.
I bet he's 15.
What a rock.
Oh, he's already tried.
Jesus.
No, you've got a 14-day cooling off period, mate, on contract, so that's bullshit. You can take it back. You can definitely take it back. You can't be tied into a contract from the minute you sign. That's not allowed in law. Oh, he signed the lease in October. You twat. Well, when did you get the product, though? When did you physically receive the machine? He's saying yes. He's a twat. Your contract can't start.
He just got the machine two days ago.
You got the machine 2 days ago. Your contract can't start till you have the machine. That's not real. So they're talking out their arse, mate. Your date of signature is not. Get yourself a decent. Well, go down to Citizens Advice Bureau and they'll tell you exactly what I'm telling you. So you've got a 14-day cooling off period for all contracts. A lease is a contract and the contract can't commence until the contract is fulfilled, and the contract is only fulfilled on the delivery of the machine. I am absolutely right. There is no question of that. So, yeah, he's in the UK. Take it back, mate. Take it back and demand your money back. And also write a letter that you hand over at the counter so you can show that you tried to cancel the contract. And then when you go to court... and remember, Ewan is never wrong, says Batwench. I don't... Okay. So the joke is that I'm never wrong and I can edit as well. But I know I'm right when it comes to contracts. So...
He can't get an old one on lease, but...
Well, no, he can't, but...
You can get a third-party lease or a loan or something, can't you, over there?
You can get rid of this one for sure if you've only had 2 days' use out of it.
Right. Yeah, but he needs a new machine. This is what I was talking about earlier, is, you know, what do you do when you need a new machine and this is your only option?
Get a MacBook Pro Escape on lease instead. I'm stuck here. No, you're not stuck, mate. You need to get, we'll talk later.
Right? Yeah.
But you need to get yourself some decent legal advice.
We need to move on.
Because if they told you that, they're talking bollocks.
You're supposed to give me positivity, you promised.
AT&T's going to give you some money. AT&T customers are going to receive $88 million in refunds following the mobile cramming settlement.
United Me? States, personally?
Yeah, I don't know.
$88 million?
I don't know. The United Excellent. It doesn't say if it's each or not. The United States Federal Trade Commission today announced that he's giving more than $88 million in refunds to 2.7 AT&T customers who had authorized third-party charges added to their service bill, something which is known as mobile cramming.
I'm going to get $20 off my cell phone bill is what I'm going to get.
I don't know if that's a seminal case or not, is it, in the States? Because you're known for getting bent over with people doing this kind of stuff to you, but...
I got a settlement, I think, from AT&T this year.
Was that on the grandfather rights thing?
I don't remember, you know, who the crud knows. But, I mean, it was like, you know, $10 off my bill or whatever. It's like, Jesus, who cares? You know, it doesn't change. It doesn't change their behavior. It doesn't change... the way they operate. It's just...
still bastards.
No, see, now we're going down this rat hole again.
I didn't start slagging them off. I said you were going to get $88 million. You're just upset because it's not you that's getting the $88 million.
Yeah, I get $20. I can have some lunch.
You could move out the cupboard AT&T. And at least have a cabana or something like that while the pool.
Yeah. That'd get a burrito.
Muller's pointing out that I edited last week in the Mac show. Yes, I did, because Doc... I did make it right with Doc that I'd said about Grand Tour not being in a tent and being in a studio. So it's done. It's done. CEO Tim Cook is to deliver the 2017 MIT commencement address.
Cool.
So didn't Jobs do that? That was one of the last things that he did, wasn't it? When he told everyone, and I'm fine now, and there was a big hoo-ha about the fact that he clearly was dying of cancer and he wasn't fine.
I'm not going to remember my history on that, unfortunately.
So, I mean, Cook has also given...
I can take
given,
your word for it.
He says he's given the commencement address at George Washington University and Auburn State University, or Auburn University, which is his right. alma mater.
Right.
I mean, is he good? Is he like is it like Conan, or is he a bit dry?
Hey, he's Tim Cook. I mean, if you've heard him speak at any of the things that he's done, you kind of get an impression for how he is. So, I would say he's good. I don't think he's as compelling as Steve maybe was with some of his, especially like the Stanford address that he gave. But I would love to hear Tim Cook speak at my graduation, but I'm a fanboy, so.
Mr. Hanshaw in the chat room says that's bullshit. I got AT&T and we ain't getting nothing. Okay. Mr. Cook's brilliance as a business leader, his geniusness, genuineness, as a human being, and his passion for issues that matter to our community make his voice one that I know will resonate deeply with our graduates. MIT President L. Raphael Reif says, I'm delighted that he will join us for the commencement and eagerly await his charge to the class of 2017. You got to wait till Friday, June the 9th, though.
Yep.
It's the only thing that Apple plan ahead. It's Tim's commencement addresses. Be good. I'm going to look at those on YouTube and see if he's actually quite funny or not, or whether he's dry. I bet he's quite. He's got some humor. A wry sense of humor. Yeah.
Yes. He absolutely does. He's not a belly laugh about that.
He's not a belly laugh bloke. You're going to have to think about it.
Yeah. It's more cerebral when it comes to Tim. You know, but I think he really does deeply care about the Apple mantra of trying to leave the world a better place than they found it. And, you know, a lot of his philanthropic efforts and a lot of the things that he's brought to Apple on that side of things are changes that I'm really glad he made. You know, we were just talking about this week about the, you know, they brought on finally donation matching with employees and stuff like that. So they're doing the whole Product Red thing where they're given, you know, $1 million in iTunes revenues, and they're doing some matching with that. So, you know, I think he, as a human being, he's an amazing individual.
Yeah, no, he doesn't strike me as anything other than a nice bloke. Doesn't mean he's any good, but he doesn't strike me as anything other than a nice bloke.
Speaking-wise, he's good. I mean, getting back to that, I mean, but, you know, just in general, I'm sure a lot of what he's going to be, will be in that speech is a lot of that sort of thing about making the world a better place and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Apple is looking at and negotiating on our behalf rentals for movies which are still in theaters.
Please.
But it's likely to come at a price, unquote. They're talking $25 to $50. For rentals.
Yeah. I mean, if you're taking more than two people to the movies, you're going to be spending way more than that. So,
well, okay, how much does a trip to the movies cost in the US?
On a discounted price, probably about $10 to $12
per person or for So, me and the two kids plus Sharon plus drinks plus stuff like that. You don't get an awful lot of change left out of $60. So that's going to be $70.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's what I'm saying. Is like just the tickets to get in, if you take two people, are going to add up $25.
But my problem with is I'm getting
getting you in the door.
Yeah, but when I go to the cinema, yes, that's what it's costing me, the theater. But I'm getting a really huge screen, looks fantastic, a great projector behind me. I'm getting a massively good sound system that the theater is paying for, hence part of the reason that my ticket is so large. Apple isn't providing me any equipment to watch this in any enhanced value other than it's just another movie on Apple TV in 1080.
But you still got to get in the car. You got to go down there. I mean, for certain films, that's what you want. Like, there's no way I'm going to miss Star Wars, you know, Rogue One in the theater. I'm just not going to do it. But there are a lot of films like Sully, for example. I really don't care if I see that on a giant screen and with the giant sound system and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would be one that I might be willing to pay $25 to watch it in the comfort of my living room when I just want something, you know, a new release to kind of watch. And if I don't, no one's going to make you rent it early, you know, so you're just talking about while it's in the theaters, it's going to cost that. And then if you want to wait till it comes out regular rental, then you can pay your $6, you know, 3 months from now or 6 months from now or whenever it might come out. So I think having the option, people having the option, I think is a good thing. And the pricing is going to have to reflect that because they will be taking money out of the hands of the theaters. So, you know, I don't know if the studios will negotiate kickbacks or something so that the theaters don't go. I mean, that's the main concern, right, is that if more people start to prefer this method of watching movies, what happens to the actual cinemas?
Yeah, no. Well, they don't. No, that's not. I don't know, because they don't get my money anyway. Because if it's so me and the wife can't go and watch a film which is 15 to 18 certification because we got the kids and we're getting a babysitter is just ridiculously hard. So not because we're a nightmare family and we can't get one. There just aren't any, okay, before anyone writes in. So we would pay, I would pay 25 quid for me and the wife to go to the theatre, in inverted commas, whilst we're at home and see a current film that's on release. Right. And the other thing I think it would solve as well is you look at the top 50 films that come up in iTunes. We rely on that very heavily to find out what content there is to watch. And I think Apple misses a trick because sometimes they'll put things like Guardian of the Galaxy is already in there in the top 50 and it's only on pre-release. You know, and yet it still goes into that top 50. Well, that's knocked one film out that I could have bought that night that I'm not going to buy because I can't find it. And the pre-releases have got to go in their separate category. They can't influence the top 50 live rentals.
Right, you're talking about the pre-sales.
Yeah, your pre-sales can't go in the top 50 because you can have 10 pre-sales in the top 50 and they've knocked out 10 movies that I would have paid to watch.
And I'm assuming you're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you mean, on pre?
I don't know. I was using that as an example. I don't think it's in there.
Okay. But I was like, that movie came out a long time ago.
So, I mean, you got Storks, though. Storks is on pre-release. So, you know, you have Storks in there on pre-release. Loads of people have done the pre-order for it. So it makes it into the charts in the top 50, top sales. But it stops me from watching a film I would have bought. I think they're missing the trick there.
Now I'm confused. So are you all for this or against this? I can't tell.
I'm all for it because then what it means is that what I see in that top 50, I can actually rent and watch that night when I see it. Because at the moment, there's 10 films in that top 50 I can't see that night. I then go to them and I'm like, oh, hang on. Oh, no, I can't rent it. It's pre-order only.
And I would, you know, the other thing that frustrates me, and I'm hoping they can change at some point, is the whole delay of rental when they actually do release it for sale. Just bugs the hell out of me. So, for example, we were just talking about this earlier. You know, I want to watch Suicide Squad, but there's no way I'm going to pay $20 to watch it because I've heard not great things about it. So I'd prefer just to rent it and see if it's a film that I care about or I like.
So you'd have paid $50 to rent it?
No, no, I wouldn't pay $50 to rent it. That's the thing. Is I want to wait, but it's been taking forever because it was released, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, and it's still not available for rent, and I think it's available to rent next week or something like that. So this whole delayed rental thing to me is silly because I'm not going to buy it. And, you know, the assumption is they think that I'll get frustrated and I'll go, oh, I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to pay the $20 because I can't wait.
Yeah, watch it. You don't want to pay more than a couple of bucks for Suicide Squad because it's boring shit. Batwing says she loves it.
But there's a lot of films like that. And I was saying, like, earlier, I realized economically there was a lot of stuff that I was buying just because I wanted to see something and it had just come out. And I realized that, you know what, a lot of these films that I bought, I don't go back and watch all that frequently. I may want to watch them a second viewing, maybe a third. But I'm not watching them a lot. And pricing wise, what'll inevitably happen is, you know, I'm paying $20 for something that I've maybe watched twice, and yet they'll have the rental where I could have paid $6, watched it on rental, and then I could watch it three times and still be out less money than buying it. Plus, if I do want to own it, if I rent it and discover, oh, this is an amazing film, I really want to own this, you know, within 6 months or so, they usually have it on a $10, you know, special. So then I could pick it up for $10 and I've spent a total of 16 instead of 20. So I'm still out. I still come out ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'd hope they do it. I don't see that. There's a possibility as well that they're not going to manage this because they're only negotiating for it at the moment. $25,
I think it makes sense.
I'm in. And if it's 25 quid in, then I'm probably in. 50 quid, they can shove it up their ass. I'm not happy. So.
Well, again, though, whatever price, if they can get it done for whatever price, I think it's a step in the right direction. And we can be upset about it, but we don't have to buy into it.
No, that's not going to control the price. Like,
yeah, and if at least they can get the job done, even if it's overpriced, eventually the studios will realize, oh, wait, we did this and no one's buying this. We've got to lower the rates. So, you know, they'll come down if they don't price it right. So, however, if I were Apple, I would get it done however you need to get it done, even if the pricing ends up being somewhat ridiculous. Because there are going to be some people that are just, I know people who just don't want to go to the theater. They just hate the whole experience, and they would probably spend insane amounts of money, what you and I would consider to be ridiculous amounts of money, to watch it in their home.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Well done, Apple. Keep trying. Apple yeah. Pay is available to 35% of US merchants. I found that an incredible statistic. So they reckon the uptake was really bad 2 years ago. 4% was the peak. And now 35% of US merchants take Apple Pay.
But yeah, I'm finding more places are taking it.
That's they still one have third. A huge Are you saying that one third of shops you go in will take Apple Pay, or you saying it's
probably
still low?
Yeah, probably at this point. That wouldn't be surprising to me. The thing about it, though, is if you ask the checkers or if you ask the people there if they do, they'll say a lot of them will still say they don't, and then you do it, and then they're like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
They don't even know they do it.
Right, exactly. I'm like, you have the logo. Can I give it a shot? Oh, yeah. And then it works. So Apple still has a serious training issue, I think, in terms of getting merchants to understand the technology and that they actually do take it as a form of payment, you know, so.
Yeah, no, that's, I still haven't signed up for it. I think they really missed the boat with me because it was so delayed over here. I was just like, can't be arsed now. It's gone. And I still haven't used it, and it doesn't work with business cards either, so.
Yeah, that part's really frustrating.
Muller says he uses it at the pub all the time.
You know that, 'cause I've been with you.
Sorry?
I've been with you.
You have been with me when you use it. Yeah, I thought it was witchcraft.
I want to see it on more, where it was supposed to be here, where it hasn't shown up, and I'd like to see it more, is at the gas pump and on vending machine.
Yeah, vending
machines
would
be good.
I'd love
to use it more
good.
For micropayments.
You can't use your phone in a petrol station.
Hey?
You're not supposed to use your phone in a petrol station.
You can in the kiosk, you muppet.
Well, and I'm not using my phone. I'm using my Apple Watch. My phone's in the car.
On the forecourt.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah, you pay on the forecourt a lot, don't you? We don't do that so much.
On the what?
You pay on the forecourt, on the where the gas pump is, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't use your phone on the forecourt, according to in UK stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, you get told off if you pull your phone out to make a call.
People do it here all the time. This is America. Yeah, we do whatever the hell we want.
Pull out your phone and someone says, complains, and they go, well, okay, I'll shoot you then instead. Because we've got guns over here, man.
Mm-hmm. Mind your own business.
Single signing. He's allegedly here. Have you got it yet? Apple single sign-on.
It doesn't matter to me because I don't own cable.
Oh, right, okay. So it only works with cable, and it only works in the US. It doesn't work over here.
I mean, I guess I could buy into Sling TV, which I've looked at. The problem here, the problem for me with all of these services, like, and Dish has their new, like, you can buy Dish direct without actually having a cable. So just, it's sort of just like their streaming stuff, and they have deals with, you know, different networks and stuff like that, but it's still on that side of things completely fragmented. So like Sling TV, I can pay $30 a month to have, or $25 or whatever it might be. But I only get things like the Disney Channel, you know, it's like a bunch of cable channels plus NBC, but I don't get CBS or ABC. You've got to buy those separately. So it's a giant mess in my opinion. So the deal ends up being better. I might as well pay $80 a month to have cable, and then I get all that stuff streaming anyway, and I can use the single sign-on. So, but I'm not interested in having a $80 a month bill for my entertainment. I'm getting by with Netflix and HBO, and, you know, Netflix has been amazing in terms of their original content that's coming out. They've got new stuff coming out. I think just today, White Rabbit Project comes out, which is like the crew from the Mythbusters minus Adam and Jamie, doing the whole Mythbusters thing. So I'm looking forward to that.
The Mythbusters without Adam and Jamie?
Yep.
Oh, no. So is it the
Tori and Grant and Carrie.
Oh, dear.
No, it looks amazing. They've been running the trailers, and it looks like it's going to be hilarious and just a lot of fun.
I can't stand Carrie Byron, though. I don't mind the two guys, but Grant's a bit annoying, but Carrie Byron's just, she's a... I preferred Scotty. She was way better. This is going to sound stupid.
I have a new appreciation for Grant because I got to run into him at a Geeks and Sundry party, and he was just blasted and hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was good fun. Good man. All right. Grant can go up then. I like the purple Lamborghini from Suicide Squad. Let me be super obnoxious on the bus. Oh, no, that would be like Top Gear without the lads. Oh, maybe not.
Is that a euphemism for the Joker?
No. So that's the Lamborghini thing is Bronwyn, but then separately, back when she's saying the Mythbusters without Adam and Jamie is like Top Gear without the three lads. So Scotty, see, Bronwyn liked Scotty too. She was cool. The difference between her and Carrie Byron is Carrie Byron was pathetic when it came to doing anything that was like balls and all, whereas Scotty would just have a go at anything.
Oh, yeah, I liked her.
Carrie's a real wincer.
She was only there for like the first couple of seasons, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. Well, she started a firm that built all the stuff for them, didn't she? Did all the welding and that kind of stuff. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. Please, please, cheese, check them out because they look after us. If you like anything for the web, try UK2 first. Check out the prices. Go to BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 to sign in or go to BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors and get the offer codes. There's tons of stuff off. If you want to give a domain name for someone for a Christmas present, you can. Buy them a server for the year, you can. You can do anything you like and our codes will help you reduce the prices on it. And as with all good things, you know, the people that look after you are the people that you should look after. So UK2 have looked after us for getting on for 10 years now, and they're going to look after us for at least another 7. So please, please check out them. The other ones to watch out for are Hoya. Hoya have got a new service. I'm so excited about this. I can't tell you. In the new year, and they didn't say when in the new year, so it could be in December in the new year. In 2017, I'm going to go and get my face measured, and they're going to make a set of glasses. We're going to video the whole thing so that we can show you what's happening and how the process works. And then my glasses are going to be 3D printed on this phenomenal process that effectively creates a fossil of your lenses, and it has to be all scraped away and finished off. And what you end up with is a set of lenses that are built for your face, the nose pieces, the curves around the ears, absolutely everything. This glass is set for your eyesight. I cannot wait. I am so excited about it. Please check out Hoya. Go to podcast@hoya.co.uk if you want to arrange and a meeting to try and get some of the Avantech lenses, which are the ones that I've got here, which I do still love very, very much. Muller's wearing his over there for later with the big show. And if you want to wait for the new Nikka stuff, they'll tell you when it's coming, what you can do if you go on their mailing list through doing that as well.
I got to do that. I'm back to an old set of glasses because I had a set of glasses that turned out to not be great.
So here's a great example. If you're anywhere listening to us in the world that is not the UK and you go, oh, well, I'd love to, but I'm not in the UK, it doesn't matter. If you write to podcast@hoya.co.uk and say, oi, Mark, sort us out. I'm in Santa Monica. I'm in San Diego. Where I'm in Hawaii. I'm in the Philippines. He will tell you who your local guy is, who your rep is, and they will be there. They'll do the whole measurement of your face with the prisms and all the stuff that you saw on the podcast here. So get right in that email, Adam. Well, you can go in the Slack room and just put it in, but other people, that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, I got to contact Mark.
Do it. He'll tell you. And don't forget to tweet out thanks to @BritishTech, thanks to @UK2 for supporting us, and also thanks to @Hoya and @HoyaUK for looking after us as well as. Time for the cool things. There's only going to be two of them. Better be good.
Oh, We're here already?
Yeah, we tend to do that after the adverts. Right. The adverts is the warning that you've got to do.
I had forgotten that I actually ended up getting something. But unfortunately, mine's a little U.S.-centric.
Sure.
It's still kind of cool, and it's U.S.-centric because it relies on you having a U.S. $1 bill. So it's an app. It was put out by the government, I think. I don't remember which department, probably Treasury or something like that.
That didn't ring alarm bells with you?
Huh?
That didn't ring alarm bells with you?
It is, well, oh, no, it's actually put out by the White House Historical Association, because what it is you pull out a $1 bill. It's called 1600, which is the address of the White House in Washington.
Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yep, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And it is an augmented reality app. It's really simple. It's a silly little thing, but it's just kind of cool technology. So you hit start on it. You lay a $1 bill down on the table, and you point your iPhone at it, and then the little seal on the dollar bill starts spinning around, and these columns come up, and a model of the White House pops up right out of the top of your $1 bill, and then it goes through a little, probably 2 or 3 minute presentation with some historical facts and some information about the White House. And you can move the phone all around, and as long as you don't cover up George Washington's face, because that's what it's using as sort of the target for the augmented reality, you can, explore the White House. You can tap on different things. There's little Easter eggs in there. Little animations will pop up. You get the motorcade going by, and it's a fun little thing.
Bloody hell. So, and there's like Navy One flies in, Marine One flies in.
Yeah. Drops off the president.
And that's all on your dollar bill. But it'll only do it with a dollar bill.
Correct. Yeah. If you tap on the Oval Office, it sort of pops up out of the thing over there.
Okay. Before we do the big show, I am going to try and print a dollar bill.
Oh, you can actually do it from the screen. Yeah, you actually can point it at, if you just do a Google search for $1 bills. The only problem is it's kind of at the wrong angle.
It's vertical, so you're
looking straight down. But yeah, it will. I verified it will work with a. You could just print an image off the internet, you want.
Oh, excellent!
And it's free. It's just a fun, goofy little app. Like I said, it's an all of a 3 minute experience, and you're done with it. You can probably delete it off your phone after that point. But it's just neat augmented reality, kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
There's no longevity. I don't think they're going to update it or anything like that. But.
Well, why? Well, you could add features to it, couldn't you, I suppose? So
you could. They could expand it, but I think it was kind of an experiment.
Right, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have a go at that. I've probably got some old dollar bills out.
Currency, not at all illegal.
Does it with any dollar bill? It doesn't change the experience depending if you've got a dollar bill that was printed?
That I don't know. I don't... Yeah, they must have accounted for both because they changed the portrait. Again, it's using the portrait on the front of George Washington as the target, so they must have accounted for both styles of portraits. But I haven't done extensive testing. Like I said, you spend about 3 minutes with it, and you're like, "Oh, that's really cool," and then you're kind of done with it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good Pete. Like that, mate. My cool thing. I've lost it. Where's it gone? I've lost it. Here it is. There we go. It's VSCO.
That's a cool app.
It's a real cool app. And it's really cool because it's a great camera app for your iOS device or Android device. But what's really cool now is that you get full RAW support with it as well. And it's full RAW support for any image that's on your phone. So if you store a CR2 file on there, a RAW film, or an NEF file on there from a Nikon, you can edit that natively in your iOS app. You don't have to go back to the computer with it. It's got a whole pile of free plugins that come with it as well. And there's a limited edition collection of plugins that will come, which is only $6.99, but it's well worth the money. I really love it. I think it's a great, and the HDR manipulation is as good as I've seen on any other device apart from Photoshop and a desktop computer. It's really easy to use. the HDR, the raw manipulation is excellent. Really, really good. Well worth it. You can do a basic level of manipulating your own photos for free, though. So it's a free app, effectively. You can do 99.9% of what you want to do with it without paying a penny. So it's only if you want the effects to come with it. Thank you to Ian Lewis for pointing me towards that one. That's very kind of him. If you've not done it yet, have a listen to the photo show. The photo show is back. Yes. If you go to british10network.com/photo, you'll see all the stories that we've put up in the last few weeks. There are show notes as well, unlike any other BTN show, that you can download. They'll be in the postings, and you just download those, and they'll tell you all the links that we've got, all the stories we've got, all the gear that's coming up, where you can go buy it, what the prices were, all that kind of stuff. And also, please, 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 if you do listen to the photo show, give us some reviews. Get us boosted up in iTunes, because it's hard work without getting any reviews up there. And also, we've had no reviews this week for the Mac Show or the Big Show. So if you can give us a review for those, we'll read it out. Thank you very much to those people that bother and take the time. Where can we get hold of you, you superstar, Adam?
Well, you can check me out on Mac Break Weekly this week if you want, but no, normally you can find me at maccast.com, Maccast on iTunes, and pretty much everywhere else on social media. And you can also check out the iOS show that I do with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I will now be counterfeiting US currency so that I can have a go with this over at the Curry House, and then we'll be back for the Big Show at 8 p.m. Thanks very much for listening. No shows next week. There are no shows at all next week. The next show that we do will be the Christmas show, and that will be on the 20th of December, Tuesday, the 20th of December. Normal times. It's in the diary. The calendar's been updated. So it's the one thing I'm actually quite good at, is updating the calendar. So subscribe to the calendar. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/live, and at the bottom you can subscribe to the calendar. And when they update the shows, when I say the times are on, when the guests are included, then you can see all of that right there, and you can get reminders and et cetera to come to the live show and that kind of thing. But no shows until the 20th now after today. Have a great weekend, and if I don't see you before Christmas, have a great Christmas. Thanks for listening.